you love takeaway, travel, and international cuisines? Then you're going to love the Takeaway Man podcast. Join Kevin Kerwin, the Takeaway Man, as he searches for the best international food delivery services accompanied by popular musicians, comedians, and artists. But here's the catch. Each guest gets to pick their a food delivery service, order their unique menu items for up to $20, and give a thorough review on it so you can get the best value for your money next time you order takeaway. You can also enjoy the entire experience on Instagram by following at The Takeaway Man. Sit back and turn up the volume because Kevin is here.
Hello and welcome to The Takeaway Man podcast. Today on The Takeaway Man podcast, we have Jordan Williams, a.k.a. Monty Blitzvist, from the fucking metal powerhouse that is Evil Scarecrow. So Jordan, what's the crack, man? How are you doing?
How's things? I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. So the first question that we have on the podcast today is drink. What's your favorite drink? What drinks do you have today? What's the plan?
See, that seems like a trick question because I know that you know that I drink everything. So, as of right now, a cider, as of about 5 minutes, a pale ale. And then depending on how many of these I get through in the course, probably like 10 shots of Jack Daniels. I don't know. It depends how this afternoon goes.
It's a fucking slippery slope, man. It's a slippery slope.
I'm a big whiskey fan, a big whiskey and ale fan traditionally. But I mean, my palate's like, same with food. I'll eat anything. I'll drink anything, you know. Apart from like a handful of things that most people wouldn't drink, you know. Nobody's coming up to your table and going, hey, I got shots of ouzo. And you're like, fucking wonderful. Let's get those slammed down. No,
it's not happening anymore. We used to have, there was a place in town and they, after every drink, they offered you a limoncello, which was kind of great at the start of the night, but not like when you're fucking 8 pints in and you're going,
yeah, that's it. Every shot of limoncello you had going, man, I'm looking forward to that heartburn tomorrow. This is going to be sweet. There was a thing in Ibiza as well that they offered you. I can't remember what it's called. The first time we ever played in Ibiza, Scarecrow like went back biblically after that, like just... It was the best place to hang out, really beautiful place. But they had this shot of, why can I not remember what it's called? But it was one of those like after dinner sort of drinks.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, it helps settle your stomach. And it just made you want to fucking throw up. It was horrible. But we would habitually drink it continuously because that's what they distilled it on the island, I think. Mm. I can't remember what it's called. It'll come to me.
I actually have it. It's one of the first questions that I actually have here is, I beat the semicolon, the penguin. So
literally the bar I'm talking about. Like that was, tell me you've had a better segue than that.
Yeah. And we'll just tick the box on that. So yeah.
So we touched down in Ibiza at about 1 a.m. and immediately got lost. Like, I think we dropped our stuff in true Scarecrow fashion. We dropped our stuff up at the hotel and this was like, let's just walk aimlessly in this place we've never been before in search of a bar. And then it turned out that we're walking 45 minutes, finding nothing. And then we asked if there are any rock bars around. And the Penguin was one block over from the hotel that we started at. Literally insane, just man. A block over. So yeah, like Marco was so hospitable with us. And then like we went back the year after. And, you know, they had like a Scarecrow flag above the bar. And when they put Hard Rock Hell Ibiza there, he made sure that like somebody would come and cover the bar so he could come out and watch us and stuff like that. And yeah, we just love that place a bit.
Yeah. And you guys have played that festival. Like, I'm not, is it a festival, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's over a handful of venues and they organize like different activities and stuff because Chic Festivals that runs it or ran it was, basically they all lived in Ibiza, they all lived in San Antonio more or less, so it was I think it was a treat for them as well to get everybody home and have everybody sort of basically, you know, they know the place like the back of their hand, so it was nice for the organizers to get everyone in their backyard and just have a bit of a party, really.
Oh, happy days, man. Yeah, happy days. And yeah, it was, I know there's been like everybody, they've always been like, oh, next year, no, I'm definitely going to go to it next year.
Yeah,
because like I've been to Ibiza about 4 or 5 times, and it wasn't the heavy metal fucking.
Yeah, you went for the lads, right?
Yeah, it was for lads on tour and all.
I mean, we went clubbing, dude. Scarecrow went clubbing. You can't not.
Yeah,
I was in fucking Pasha cutting a rug one Saturday night, mate.
Exactly. Like, this is the thing. And there's a picture of me, right? And it's fucking hilarious. I'm wearing a Rob Zombie t-shirt. I think you have the same one.
One that says fuck off on the back. That's what I went into Pasha in. I was wearing the same shirt.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And that's the thing. So, like, I would just walk in, beard. Fucking manly men, like tattoos all over your arms and all. And then there's fucking David Guetta or something playing, and you're just having an absolute bop. And then everyone's just looking at your t-shirt and it just says fuck off on the back of it.
One big circle around you of people dancing.
Yeah. I love it. Oh man, it's so true. But like, that's the thing. There's such a stereotype when it comes to like genres of music and stuff like that. Like, people always say to me, they're like, oh yeah, you're a big heavy metal head and blah 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 blah. No, it's just like, that's the music I'd fucking listen to if I had a headache or if I wanted to chill out or do all that kind of stuff. I still listen to the Stevie Nicks and the Fleetwood Macs.
I listen to all sorts, mate. Yeah. I think it's people who don't listen to metal really cut their work out for themselves making assumptions about metalheads, because they are the people you will have the most fun with. Like, if you gave us 5 minutes, you'd have the best night. You're the friendliest, nicest people in the world.
Yeah. Like, when I was doing, event manager stuff for Shanae, and it was working with like
that place.
And like, we were having like people come in and do pop-ups and stuff like that, and they were like, we don't really want our brand to be associated with like heavy metal and stuff like that. And I was like, do you know how much fucking chicken wings like fat metalheads eat? And they were like, what you mean? And I was like, there's going to be about 200 people here, and as soon as that band finishes, they're all going to want pub grub.
Yeah. While they've been watching that band, they've been sinking like 10 ales. They're ready.
You know, and like, that's the thing. They were just like, oh, I don't really want to be associated with it. But now, like, there's just so many like little dive bars and all these kind of little grungy bars that are popping up. And
yeah,
they're kind of like, oh no, I've listened to Nirvana my whole life. And you're like, oh, I'm sure you have, kind of thing. Like, what?
Awesome.
The fuck, man? Yeah.
Like, I love how that's an instant knock-on effect. Yeah, I love Nirvana. I opened a bar. All right, that seems like natural causation. Fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. Like, even when Shanae first opened up, when the whole thing started and coming about, like, they turned around to me and they're like, our fucking vision is for it to be like CBGBs. And I was like, okay, look, CBGBs well before our time or whatever. So I did a bit of research on it because I knew like the punk style and all this kind of stuff. And then I went back to them. And then when I started booking the CBGB style bands, like, where fucking bands wanting to like piss on drum kits and do fucking mad shit and like smashing up gear and all.
And they're like, whoa, not like this.
Like, no. We just wanted
the floor to be a bit sticky.
But like, that's the thing. So you kind of have like this vision and then you kind of go, oh, like, it was mad. And then we went down this kind of like disco kind of route, kind of like a DJ.
It was always
only
really hard to put your finger on that place. Like,
yeah,
just night to night. If we spent 3 nights in Dublin with like yourself and we ended up there every night, it was like, yeah, fucking metal. And then you go in on Saturday, you're like, whoa, smooth jazz. What the fuck is going on? It's like sensory overload.
Yeah, we did this one thing where they wanted to do like a lot of student nights and stuff. And the place was absolutely at capacity, refusing people. No, sorry, you can't come in. But the bar was doing shit. And they were just kind of like, why is the bar doing shit? And I was like, well, one, you're after inviting a shitload of students to a techno gig, so they're all peeled off their tits. So you're like, you kind of have to have swings and roundabouts with it.
Yeah.
But it is. It's mad.
But I like the idea that somebody's watching this podcast and has no idea why we're both eating so far.
Yeah, but this is it. That's the thing. Like, I'm trying to kind of, with the podcast, I was doing a thing where we would automatically say it at the very beginning and be like,
yeah,
I got a curry and I got a fucking bag of chips. And then it's like, okay, well, now I have no reason to fucking listen to the rest of the podcast. So the next question that we have on this fucking smooth, sexy transition is a deal or no deal.
Deal, no deal.
So did you get like a combo today? Was there any multi-buys? How many people does it say that your food is going to feed today? And is it just going to be you? Like,
yeah, well, it was a place I haven't ordered from before called Wildwood. It does really, really nice food, actually. And it's like super expensive normally. And for some reason today, it was like fucking £10 off. Which was great. And they were super busy as well. So I don't think it's because they've not got the business. But yeah, I've not gone really overboard. But I ordered, basically, a thing that popped into my head was the first time we ate with you.
Yeah.
He took us to like a bomb-ass like barbecue place in Dublin.
Yeah.
And I had a buttermilk chicken burger. So that's exactly what I've ordered.
Amazing. Look at this.
I can't remember shit. I can't remember what I did yesterday, but I can remember a buttermilk chicken burger from like fucking years ago.
Oh, well, I'm the exact same. Oh, that's fucking cool. Yeah, no, the place that we went to in Dublin was called Pip Roast. So
Yes.
Yeah, like they're pretty good. And one of the funniest things that you can do in Pip Roast is you can pull your own ice cream at the end. I don't know if you can remember.
Yeah, I remember you doing it.
And it's just like, you're like, oh, bollocks.
But we were all just like chilling out. And then you were like, hee-hee-hee. And wandered up. I was like, what the fuck's he doing? And you get, but I think I was sat side on. So you just sort of went. I was like, I've never seen him so happy.
Oh, man, no, that's it. So in order with the food that you got today, so was it like chips, drink? Like, was there sides? What ways were?
So I got, it was like a buttermilk chicken burger with chips, coleslaw, mayonnaise, and beer, which is something they serve as well. So, which was thrown in, like a bottle of beer.
All right.
It was weirdly thrown in. So I was like, yeah, all right, sound. don't threaten me with a good time.
Straight in, no kissing. Like
that's it. I've been the burger, drank the beer.
Yeah. That is a thing now that we've noticed, like Deliveroo and stuff like that. They've kind of taken on the UK kind of model where you can, like your local corner shop that sells like a bag of cans, you can now get it delivered straight out.
Yeah, like, well, I do my, because I pay for a Deliveroo Plus.
Oh, yeah.
Could be mainly because, so I started doing that during lockdown because like places like Aldi and Lidl and all the groceries were getting on there. So to save going out with the fucking mouth breathers who can't shop, sit, 2 meters apart, like, you don't need green beans that much to be here trying to get give me 30 fucking seconds. So I got, but we've been really up on it with the rules in my house. So I've just been trying. I don't want COVID, man. It's as simple as that. No, I want none of that shit. So yeah, I started doing my grocery shopping and stuff online and just doing it through Deliveroo. And yeah, it's been sound, man.
The next question that we're kind of going into is called Hometown Heroes. So one thing that I kind of saw over the likes of the whole lockdown and stuff is that I thought like that is like Jordan's the drummer. I think I have you fucking saved in my phone as drummer Jordan. And then out of nowhere, you're fucking whipping out guitars and basses and electric kits. Like where did you whip that out of?
Well, I've always been able to play guitar to some degree. But I get really fidgety. I get really, really bored easily. So, like, yeah, it got to the point, like I was telling you earlier about Scarecrow writing songs and stuff like that. It got to the point where I had to learn to be better because I was writing riffs that I couldn't play. So, absolutely pointless. Matt would be like, so what's your riff like? I was like, I could hum it. So, yeah, I had to get to a point where I could actually physically play these riffs to show them. And, yeah, it got to a point where I was, like, playing guitar daily for months.
Wow.
Just to have something to do. And then, I sort of fell ass backwards into being half decent at it.
Amazing, man. No, that's fucking class.
And then, that's the drum kit that I bought in the background, my new Roland kit.
Oh, yeah, happy fuck.
And then there's another electric drum kit that we've just bought for rehearsing. And
I saw that thing. That yoke's a fucking powerhouse, man.
Yeah, like, dude, absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, it's like £2,000 worth of drum kit. But because we want to get ready for Bloodstock, we had to move all of our stuff. Basically, Matt from Scarecrow was running a rehearsal room that he also rented to a few of the bands. And he also runs his own company. Mm. So, he was a busy man. And somebody like Matt doesn't need messages from a dude complaining about the fact that bins haven't been taken out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he was like, so we sort of sacked it off, but it means we lost our rehearsal space in a way. But Matt's business has this big sort of open office, but we just couldn't make any noise. So we thought we'd kit it out with, bearing in mind that the guys don't use amps or anything like that anyway, they go straight into like pedals.
Cool.
And they make all their sounds. So yeah, we've got this like, basically we emit no noise whatsoever, but in our fucking ears, it sounds massive.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. We've all got in-ear systems. We've got iPads that control all our mixes in our ears. And yeah. But if you were stood there listening to us, it'd just be like, just me, like, literally fucking.
No way.
Yeah, it'd be that, absolute dog shit.
That was like the first time I ever went to a fucking silent disco. And
yeah. So yeah, same sort of thing. Exact same sort of thing.
Went into the silent disco and some dickhead was like, hey man, here's your fucking headphones. And I'm like, all right, yeah, what's the crack with this? Walked in and like I took the headphones off and there's nothing. But then when you put the headphones on, there was the funniest thing ever because there was multiple DJs. I think there was like two or three DJs. And one DJ was playing Thriller. And then the other DJ was playing Daft Punk. So you had half the fuckers doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other half was like doing the Around the World fucking thing. Yeah. I was like, what? But no, that's class, man. And who does, I think, Fear Factory, I think their whole setup now is all these like Kemper,
all these iPad things.
And yeah, they've cut down half the reduction on or their production things. And
well, that's it. I mean, we don't need, you know, we don't need monitor engineers because we have an iPad there and I'm like, more kick, more whatever. And it just bang straight in. It's great.
Holy fuck. And is that like, is that the thing now where you guys are like, is that something that you can just kind of learn on YouTube or what way does it work?
I mean, so for the equipment, I mean, all of us have a fairly basic knowledge of sort of recording and production and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Especially with tech, we know how to set stuff up. But I mean, part of during lockdown as well, like we had some surplus cash in the bank as a band. So I mean, so we bought me and Jack because like Dick had one at home, Matt had one at home anyway, but basically Scarecrow bought me and Jack our own home studios.
Class.
So like, you know, audio interfaces, studio quality speakers. And yeah, so then after that, I'd started learning how to record. We know how to set up all the gear, but our main sort of like golden egg sort of character is Mez, who runs the Sophie stage at Bloodstock.
Is
now our sound engineer.
Oh, fuck.
And he just knows fucking everything. Shit. So we like scooped him up. And yeah, if you ever see us sounding anywhere near decent, it's all his fault.
It's all his fault.
yeah.
That's amazing. Man.
So while we were learning through it, he would sit us down and he'd come down, bless him. Like he lives in Birmingham. He'd drive over for Scarecrow rehearsals, come down with his iPad, help us set it up, get the sounds right. And yeah, he's great.
Oh, that's fucking class, man. Happy days. Oh, that's cool. And so the next kind of question now is kind of going to go into more of kind of a hometown hero thing. But like, I'm not really too sure on how many countries that you've traveled in. I definitely know you've fucking traveled the length and breadth of Ireland and England and Ibiza. But yeah. Where's your favorite restaurant, takeaway or food truck in a place that you'd kind of, so say if you were to kind of fly into Ibiza, where would be the first restaurant that you're going to go to? But it could be anywhere that you've ever been on holidays in your entire life.
If we were to fly in Ibiza, I know straight away we'd go to a restaurant called Tapas, which is right up in the hills, like the northern side of San Antonio. And again, I remember it was literally at night and we went off this dirt track away from like the main strip. And I was like, why the fuck are we walking through this hills have eyes looking fucking area? Then suddenly it just opened up to this amazing restaurant that did literally, it was just called Tapas. I was like, oh, it's going to be so boring. What Spanish restaurant calls themselves Tapas? And it's the best tapas I've ever had in my entire fucking life. It was amazing. It was literally just some of the most memorable food. So much so we all went into the kitchen and we were just like, we just wanted to shake your hand. Like, and it was like one small dude running about like a fucking good and then some elderly woman just cooking away with like 10 pounds. Yeah, they were insane. But I mean, I still have still memories of stuff like, you know, the smokehouse truck at Bloodstock?
Oh, yeah.
Like they were there at Amplified Festival as well. And a good friend of ours runs it. I'm not sure he's going to be there this year. But I mean, again, like, you know, when you're like in the pissing rain waiting to sound check. And I remember one time at Amplified Festival, it's fucking horrible. But he just dished us out loads of free food and said, I hope you enjoy the fucking gig and stuff like that. And yeah, far too many to recall. But yeah, those are a good handful. The other place in Ibiza is Villa Mercedes for cocktails and seafood because the sea is there. Like you're sat on the marina. Like wow. It's literally like they go out and just fucking harpoon shit and go, there you go.
Yeah.
It's that close.
Holy fuck. And has there been any festivals that you've been to where you've had like the local cuisine? Has there ever been that? Because like one thing that I know, especially like from doing the UK kind of circuit of festivals and stuff like that, is that the food is so fucking goddamn hit and miss. So you're just like, I've just spent 20 quid on the world's worst fucking burger and I know it's going to rocket out my arse in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, and I have no no other option because I need to get on stage other than to eat this.
Take some bit of fucking sustenance.
Yeah. I don't know. It's definitely been a lot of hit and miss food. We've had some dog shit food over the years. But I mean, yeah, definitely not anything local. I mean, the only places where I think the cuisine would change too much other than Spain would be Germany.
Yeah.
And not to be too stereotypical with it, but I probably ate my weight in sausage. I was waiting until you ate something. Yes!
The first fucking death on the podcast.
Just go straight over.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Other than that, just like, yeah, meat platters and stuff like that. But other than that, nothing changed too heavily.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, that's nice. That's cool, man.
That's another thing as well. Like, you go to a place like Germany or Spain and you can still get like fish and chips. And you're like, it's the last thing that you want because you can get that anywhere. But they still serve a lot of English crap, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, and that's the thing. Like, there's so many oaks where you're kind of going, like, you're in a position. Like, I know for me, no, I'm not going to do it anymore because of the whole COVID and your man fucked all of his staff over. But
Wetherspoons.
Like, there's, I don't know how many times where
anybody just, listening, don't do it.
Yeah, I know the pints are £2, but fuck them. Like, just
say, yeah. That was so the only draw for me. 7.8% ale at £1 fucking 90 or whatever it was.
Like, all right, but like, and that's the thing. Like, where I'm at now is I'm like, he did the exact same in Ireland. All the staff, game over. Yeah, just like, and he was just like, sure, if you're going to be that fixed for work, I'll work in Tesco.
So it was, that was it. That's what we had here as well. It was like, you know, they're looking for baggers. So it was just like a nationwide fuck off.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And everyone was like, huh? Yeah. So for me, like, that'd be my thing, is that you go to your Witherspoons and you just have a rake load of pints and a random fucking curry for £4 or whatever.
Thursday nights, man. Thursday nights, curry nights.
This is it. But
the unfortunate thing is, Wetherspoons was the place for us. Like, I think Scarecrow's been to the majority of the Wetherspoons in the UK.
Yeah.
Because you sound check and you've got 30 minutes to get back and get on stage. And we'd always make a point of watching the first band. You will never not see us watching the support bands.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the speed, the price, and just everything about it catered to the fact that we had to get the fuck out of Dodge and get back to the venue. But we're all clever people, and I imagine have unanimously decided never to fucking step foot in one of them again.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, and that's the thing. I it would take like Angelina Jolie to be like, here, I'm single and I'm going inside to Witherspoon's for a pint for me to go in and have a pint.
And you'd still be like, can we meet at Nando's?
I'd be like, come on now. There has to be. Honestly, let's just go get a bag of cans at Tesco and we can stand outside.
Sit on a park.
Like, at this stage, but
you and Angelina Jolie supping a bag of cans on a park bench. That's the dream. That's the dream. Fly me to
the moon. Yeah, so the next question that we have is, it's called Fly Me to the Moon. So it's kind of like, any tips or tricks that you've acquired over the years in regards to touring as a drummer, as well as kind of finding good restaurants wherever you've toured it?
Keep holding your parking tickets.
Was it going to be mentioned? Right, so we have an in-joke. I'm going to just explain it here and now.
Have you had to do this yet?
No, I've done it.
I'm going to light a cigarette.
Yeah,
like, I'm going to recline my chair and I'm going to watch this happen.
So basically, we booked Evil Scarecrow to come over to Ireland. Jeez, I don't know how many years ago now at this stage, a good few years ago. And
we had a great time and he really looked after us. That has to be said first. One of the best promoters we've ever had to come and pick us up.
I tried my best. But I was pulled aside by one of the business partners that we had. And the first thing that he said to me was, Kev, I need you to give the guys in Evil Scarecrow their hotel tickets, the hostel tickets, so they can get in. I was like, yeah, that's absolutely no problem. I said, right, that's perfect. And so what I need you to do is just go in, hand them the tickets and leave. Don't go drinking with the band. And I went, oh yeah, no. Definitely.
We're together for about 3 days, three, 4 days.
So one thing leads to the next. Go in, hand the tickets. They go, oh, do you want to go for a beer? I instantly just go, of course. And pints. And I ring my girlfriend up at the time and I was like, hey, is there any chance you can drive, like get into the car? And we drive to wherever the fuck we were going. And she took my car. I drove so I wouldn't drink. So that shows you how much of a bit of a very bad influence Evil Scarecrow were.
Like, folded like an origami crane.
Oh, man. And yeah, so we hop into the car and she goes, oh, do you have the parking ticket? I go, I handed it to you. But all of Evil Scarecrow were sitting in the back of the car going like, you know, you didn't. You're fucking, you're a drunk mess. What the fuck are you, what are you doing, man? And I went, I did give it to you. And we're having like a full blown domestic. And she's like, no, you didn't. Blah, blah, blah.
My favorite part of you trying to look for it in your state as well, where you go, I'll just look for it. And you crack the door, look down on the floor, man. I simply can't find it. And we were just like, wow, it's like Indiana Jones. Fuck it out.
No, it's not there, mate. It's not there. And then, long story short, I had the ticket in my pocket the whole time. The lads, like, I go, oh, parking ticket. And then I don't know who said it, but they went, parky. And I went, oh.
No. You're missing the best part of the story.
Oh.
So
oh,
you
sorry,
found
sorry.
That one. Oh. Then you lost it. And then you had to go downstairs to the security guard to get another one who ripped the piss out of you. It was like a 2-3 ticket incident.
Do you know what, man?
We had to go downstairs. We had to wait for the ticket until he was done berating. Because you knew the guy who worked in the fucking car bar, right?
It was so
it was
bad,
like,
man.
Dude, it was just like, we've delivered you to your dad's doorstep. And he was like, he does this all the fucking time.
What's wrong with this guy?
Yeah, she's two bits of fucking paper.
Oh, man. I completely forgot that. I completely forgot the funniest part of the fucking story because it haunts my soul. That's why.
Yeah. That was the best part. Yeah, because you went parking ticket and then I think it went back in the pocket and it was never to be seen again.
Gone forever, like.
Well, you folded up and stuffed it up your ass and went, and that's the end of that.
Literally may as well happen, like, fuck's sake, man.
So that's that story.
Good.
Well, it's nice for the world to get a refresher on that story, just in case anybody didn't know.
Yeah, but oh Jesus Christ, that was going to lead into the next intoxicated food or holiday story. So which, I don't know. I think that was
how long is this podcast going to be?
Yeah.
Like, oh. Who the fuck are you talking to?
Would you have one that's kind of that hits home?
It goes back to Ibiza. One instantly jumps to mind. So we're I'm there's no two ways about that. I'm the biggest drinker in Scarecrow, especially when it comes to partying. Matt loves a good party, don't get me wrong. Jack will absolutely get obliterated, but certain people need to sort of keep everybody else in line. Dick, the brother Payne, when he was in the band, he can't drink. I mean, he can, but not bearing in mind he's out with me, Matt, and Jack, and we're like, so we get to like, we landed 2 hours ago. Cut to no more than 2 hours later, he's bent over on the corner of this fucking, in between being sick, just going, I've been here too fucking long, and you bunch of pricks. That's fucking, and that story just exacerbated into random shit that we thought he was saying or that we made up. So it'd be like, I need a tree surgeon. Just for no reason whatsoever. But yeah, him, I've been here 2 fucking hours. I can still hear it in my head. It's amazing.
Oh, man, that's fucking glorious.
That's definitely up there. A few more of them would be too indiscreet to my fellow bandmates. Just embarrassing, nothing bad. But, you know, I don't want to do them dirty like that. So.
No.
Or myself. I mean, I'm sure, you know, I've definitely done some, you know, a few. There's another one in a hostel in Scotland as well. Or I just woke up, we're all fucking hungover. You know what? I am going to do this. So Jack had gotten up and thought that the middle of the hostel bedroom floor was the toilet.
Standard operating
so
procedure.
Dick's gotten up to find a mop or something to clean up this piss. And they put this so that he put the light on. And I suddenly went ballistic like a fucking ear going, fucking light off. And I haven't opened my eyes, but if I did, you'd just see this. I imagine Jack warbling around, Dick trying to clean piss up with a mop, and me going, it's too bright. Oh, no. This is the worst thing to possibly happen this evening ever. Like a little bitch. And they're just like, bigger problems, Jord. Bigger problems. So, yeah, that's another one. I can't believe I just went instantly from, I'm not going to do my bandmates to like that to listen to this.
Yeah, well, actually, that kind of, on another smooth, sexy transition, I actually have, I've worked with two of these bands, one being yourself, being Evil Scarecrow, another one being Footprints and the Custard, and this is the question, right? Here's the thing, there is another band, Raised by Owls. I know.
Actually, from Nottingham as well.
Yeah. So this is the question. Who would win in a WWF Royal Rumble match out of all of the band members in Raised by Owls, Footprints and the Custard, and Evil Scarecrow? I wrote down here, who would get thrown over the ropes first and who would come back from the dead?
Matt would definitely get thrown over the ropes first because he's the only one sleek enough to be thrown by another human being. We've all put a couple of LBs on over the last couple of years.
Just a tad.
So Sladen, who plays drums for Footprints and the Custard, is also my best friend.
No way.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think me and him would be completely irrelevant in the corner trying to one-up each other by kicking the living shit out of one another. I think the guys by Raised by Owls would stop fighting, boot off the people behind the commentator desk and start doing something fucking hilarious with it.
Yeah.
And Jack would definitely come back to life because that's his superpower after having a hangover.
Oh, yeah. He's just fucking raised from the dead.
I mean, it takes him a while, but his ability to bounce back is pretty heroic. Beyond that, not having to pit a band against another, I think we just have to do some sort of Royal Rumble, Hell in a Cell sort of winner stays on. Yeah, somebody outside just breaks a pool cue in half, throws it in and goes, get on with it.
Well, cool, man. Well, happy days. And the next question that I have down here is, what's the funniest answer that you've ever given in an interview? Because that's the thing. Like, I remember when I think it was at Bloodstock one of the days.
Yeah, I was going to say Mick the Beard. Like, yeah. It's got to be the purple milk thing, right? And I mean, I was completely irrelevant to that interview, but that fucking thing went viral. Another weird fucking segue. Caitlin, who's Mick's daughter, is now goes out with Sladen from Footprint and is one of my best friends.
Mate,
it's a small world. Like, Caitlin's sort of like a little sister to me, so I've known her for absolutely years. Like, from that, mate, I knew Caitlin beforehand, but I don't think Matt really knew that it was Mick's daughter. So, you know, it's like we're there. Well, we took over the interview, didn't we? When did you lose your fucking virginity? Like, and he's there like, fucking hell, guys. We've had some fucking weird answers. Like, some of the best ones are where Matt's half cut and he can't be bothered. He's like, yeah, no, boring, next question. Yeah, no, we get asked that all the time. No, boring, no, dog shit.
Yeah.
And we have, like, we have a lot of interviews with, I think it's just all these people that interview us, 9 times out of 10, we know them or are our friends. Yeah. So you get this sort of, you can't really narrow it down, but we get this deer in a headlights look from those people. They're like, okay, so I'm here to into Evil Scarecrow and I'm really excited. We're like, yeah, you sound it. Yeah, what's your first motherfucking question? And it just all goes off the rails. So I don't think it's few and far between when we have a serious interview. So there's far too many to sort of talk about.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I remember I was standing at the backstage at Bloodstock and I was just there and I was having a pint. And the way that whole thing works is that, like, everyone goes around, you're interviewing with whoever at the time, all this kind of stuff. So if you do technically stand 2 foot beside someone, you can hear what their answers are going to be. And I was there going, holy Jesus. Like, what the fuck did he just say?
we were just like taking the piss out of people as well. There's one, another friend of ours, but we're just like, you know how if somebody has an allergic reaction or something like that and you try and be subtle and caring, and this dude had his tongue, his lip stung by a wasp. So we walked up and went, what the fuck is wrong with your face? And he just went, I got stung by a wasp. And we all went, just sit there going, he's not asking the questions, is he? Because we won't be able to get through it. And who made your costumes? And we'd be like, mate, and his lips, like the size of his chin. He's like, yeah, got done by wasp.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Jesus. And that was,
it's just insane.
Yeah, like I've had firsthand experience of all of that kind of stuff, especially with you guys. And it's just, like it sticks with you, you know.
Yeah, like Vietnam style flashbacks. You weren't there, man.
Good stuff. And yeah, so what else do I have? I have a couple of kind of see, that's the thing I didn't want to ask you, because you guys have always done like hundreds and hundreds of interviews, and it's always been the same thing. Oh, and where does Crambulon come from? It's like, mate, we've done that fucking years ago. And then if you were a type of cheese, what's your favorite? What cheese would you be? It's like,
And I know you say that like that was a shit question, but that would kind of be out of the box if you were a kind of cheese. I might have to have a think.
Yeah, like that kind of stuff. So with the things that I kind of have wrote down here, I think kind of the last one that I'll go with that would probably make the most sense is like corpse paint fuck up moment, because we're all lads here. Like we've never like properly wanted to stick makeup on and stuff like that. And I was kind of flicking through a couple of your pictures.
I love it. I'm really taken to it. I think we all have.
No, but that's literally what I was just going to say to you, is that your progression in, like, I honestly think you could fucking do OnlyFans, mate.
It gets better over the years.
Like,
it goes up in like 3 minutes. I'm like fucking Superman with that shit. I'm in a phone box and I'm out, ready to go. Like, yeah. But that was it. Like, I did, same thing with it. Like, I still have, I think it's in this room somewhere, but I still have the first ever Ringmaster's jacket. Oh, that, yeah. I wore the like pillarbox red one that was given to me by an ex of mine who, it was her grandfather's, and it was a tradition. It was an antique Ringmaster's jacket. It was a real thing.
Holy fuck.
And I like played a couple of gigs with it and then went to download and got into a Lamb of God pit, and people just absolutely tore it to smithereens. Like sleeves came off. And so I just came back like in a ball, but I still have it. I was thinking of like auctioning it off or something. I think that'd be quite good memorabilia, yeah. Type thing.
Some fucking.
But yeah, the makeup's gotten better over the years. We're definitely trying to get a different look, like just to keep things fresh as and when we can.
Like that's the thing. There's definitely been times where, especially where you're on tour and stuff like that. Like, has there ever been a thing where you've just wanted to go like full blown like Gene Simmons or something, and just been like, we've done it
for Halloween gigs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we'll go the complete opposite, but we still dress up as something. So we did a Halloween gig at the Crawford Arms in Milton Keynes, which is a great venue. And I can tell you the characters, actually. So, that, like, literally cut to us sound checking, then going into Milton Keynes Town Centre to go to Primark to buy things for these outfits. So the one who looked the best was Brother Payne as Freddie Mercury. He fucking nailed it.
Holy shit.
I was Vinnie Paul, so I had... Jack's dad's like flannel shirt on with a really massive black gaffer tape handlebar mustache. Matt was Marty McFly from Back to the Future. Who was Kim? Kim was what's her name? Bombshell. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Who's that? You know the chick.
Yeah, the one that jumped out of the cake.
Fucking blonde chick. Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jack was Jesus. and that was that.
All right.
Yeah, but we had no makeup on or anything like that. So I think that's the first real time we ever did it. Just to, you know, Evil Scarecrow at Halloween gig, what you can do, you put corpse paint on. Brilliant. So is everybody else.
So this is kind of like a triple whammy. So your worst hangover, the best hangover, and what cure you had. Or what's your cure these days?
My worst hangover. They all sort of... there's a lot of them. My worst one, and it was probably a knock-on effect from my missus, really. My worst one was where me and my missus were so fucked up. And I wanted to see them as well, but we set alarms to go see Powerwall for Bloodstock. Nice. And bearing in mind, they were on at like 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and we slept through until like 8 o'clock in the... Like, we couldn't stand, couldn't see. So that was fairly bad, like missing bands like that. The other worst one as well, which wasn't one of mine, but I remember Dick from Scarecrow being at a Bloodstock once and sleeping through Opeth.
No.
And that's like one of his favourite bands, same as me. Like, he wasn't a happy bunny.
Oh, yeah. No, it happened to me. I love the way all of our answers are always... Bloodstock.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Like, I'm always there, but as far as the bands you've interviewed goes, we're always there.
Yeah. Oh man, no, same thing happened to me. I shoo-shooed when Down played. I can't remember how
you didn't miss anything.
Yeah, but
Phil was in a state, man.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like, so downplayed, and they turned around and the lads were like, oh, they played Pantera songs, they played this, they played that, and all. And I was just like, bollocks, you know? And,
yeah.
But that's the thing, like, my mates do that to me. It doesn't matter who the fucking band is. And they could have played like the worst set that they've ever had in their entire life. All bands could have like shit themselves on stage and puked on stage. And if I didn't go to the gig, they'd
but
be like,
but if you weren't there,
you
missed a gig of a fucking lifetime. Yeah.
All the mates do that, man. Fucking nightmare. But has there ever been a time where you're after going out and getting absolutely fucking railroaded and woke up and gone, hold on a minute, I don't have a hangover here?
A handful of times, yeah. It's weird to escape them because, like, I'm not the kind of person to go out for a few drinks. Like, if you're out, you're fucking out for the duration.
Like Mickey Flanagan fucking out.
Yeah, out, mate, yeah. So, like, when we do go hard and you do escape it, it's nice. But probably the most normal answer out of all of them I've given today, but me and my missus are just a big fan of a big old fucking Chinese sort of hangover out. Loads of MSG and battered stuff. That'll normally do you.
Yeah.
Although it takes you about 4 hours to eat it in waves.
Yeah. Full
like
on
one
Trivium
chicken
style.
Ball at a time, or fucking that's how your head feels.
And like that's the thing when it's coming to all of these fucking hangover cures and shit like that. Now, I've just turned 30, and like on my like when I'm going to bed now, it's just like 2 Sulpidine, Dior Light, and there's been times like even at gaff parties and stuff like that where I've gone to go to bed. I'm fucking Mr. Dickhead. I'm going to bed.
You've got your vitamin C in your fucking pocket.
No, but I walk down like big fucking chipper belly on me, just in me jocks in the middle of a house party. Everyone's still there having beers and all, and I'm just
it's
like
7 or 8 in the morning, like morning.
Yeah. And I put the glass out and I put in the 2 Sulpidine and I'm just sitting there waiting for them to dissolve and all, just standing there swaying, going like, all right, lads, how's things? Good night and all. And they're like, man, do you think you could put on some fucking pajamas or something? And like, you're in the middle of fucking having
I can't work with all these rules. Oh, I thought you guys were cool last night. Jesus.
I know. I didn't hear no bell. And it was the main meal. So what did you order? Where did you order it from? Can you go for a walk after? How are you feeling after? But what's the crack?
Yeah, good. Yeah, it was nice to sort of do it slowly, really. But yeah, like I said, it was just sort of reminiscent of the first thing we ate together, really. So yeah, it's from a place called Wildwood that just opened up in Nottingham. And it's sort of like it's an Italian gaff. So I was surprised to be able to get a burger from there. But really nice food, but normally quite pricey. But I mean, as soon as we finish this interview, I'm no doubt just going to change windows and still drink beer in my seat and play Call of Duty.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm going to have to, I don't know, man. I've been playing Call of Duty like a good bit. I'm not on like any fucking turbo high level or whatever, but I'm just playing with all of these. I will fucking
crush you. I will make orphans of your children.
Like, that's the thing, we've been playing, and I don't know if I'm just playing with a shit ton of hackers or what the crack
There's
is.
There's a lot of that going around. It's a multi-billion. I hate to do the nerdy thing and talk about games too much, but I do play it a lot and I really enjoy it, especially now that I have to make the fucking
the setup.
The absolute fucking beast, mate.
But
to have a space to do it is really cool, and especially like the social part of it.
Yeah,
like everybody having headsets and during a period of time where you couldn't see each other, that was really, really important. But yeah, Activision, multi-billion pound company, can't fucking make an anti-cheat. Like, fuck you guys. You know, fuck you, Activision. Fuck off.
Thanks for that sponsorship.
Yeah, that's it. That's gone down like a lead fucking balloon.
There's a new hack that's after coming out now, and it's called magnet bullets.
I've seen it, yeah, where you just hip fire and it just fucking...
Yeah. Like, and even I've been watching a couple of Twitch streams and stuff like that, it's just like all these birds, and they're going in and they write like the little X. Mm. They put the little X on the marker of their... on their screen and stuff.
And then
they're just like instantly shooting people and killing them, and it's just like boom, gone.
Yeah, and well, then, that's it. The bullets are attracted to other players, essentially. That's what it looks like.
Don't know, man. It's crazy.
I mean, for the last like 48 hours, I played a few games and had a fairly decent couple, so it's few and far between. But when it's the games is like hackers after hackers after hackers after hackers, you just put the fucking pad down and call it a day.
Yeah, yeah, no, it is.
It really takes the fun out of it. And I just lose my rag with it, man. Fuck these guys. Not worth it.
No, and I've been playing, I don't know, do you play Rainbow Six?
I have. Yeah, I like Rainbow Six. Yeah,
that's what we've been playing. That's what's kind of got us through the lockdown and all. And it's just like,
I think I'm going to have to bite the bullet and buy Resident Evil 8 as well after coming out yesterday.
Yeah. Playing it. Yeah. Like the new Resident Evil, and then did you watch the new Mortal Kombat? Did you see the new?
Oh, yeah,
Mortal
I watched Kombat it the other night. Yeah, absolute fucking cheese, but it was great.
Do you know what? I just think, like, I was watching it. So many people are comparing it to the original, and I'm just like,
what are you doing?
Fucking night and day,
it's
man.
A completely different fucking monster entirely.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. Like, you know, Kano's back must be fucking killing him from carrying the entire movie. But other than that, like,
it was so funny, man.
But I mean, everyone was only, you know, you were only in it for fucking Scorpion and Sub-Zero. Like, that's the whole thing. Do you know what I mean?
Like, that's pretty much it. Like,
that was it for me. To infinity
and beyond. The last sort of question of the day is, it's called Infinity and Beyond. I was like, what does the guest want to promote? And is there anyone they want to give a shout out to?
Shout out to Footprints of the Custard and Raised by Owls, because we've already spoken about them. Yeah. And apart from Sladen, fuck you. So Scarecrow will be going into the studio in July with the almighty Russ Russell. For, I think we'll be doing an EP. It might be a handful of tracks, might be one or two, I'm not sure. Other than that, we have moved our tour forward to October, November. So all tickets are on sale for that. Other than that, yeah, we'll see you at Bloodstock.
Yeah, happy day. So Sophie Stage Bloodstock on the Sunday night.
That'd be something.
Closing the fucking show.
Yeah. Happy to survive from Wednesday to Sunday, first of all. This is the first year that I've contemplated getting a hotel and not staying in a tent.
I've done the hotel. And it's a fucking
game changer.
You don't look back, mate. You don't look back. Like, yeah.
Did you stay at a place that was close?
I originally stayed in a B&B, the first year where we stayed in this B&B, and it was just this little old couple, and they didn't know what the fuck they were doing, because it was just like, it was, remember, actually, do you know exactly the easiest way for me to explain it was, it was Lamb of God Redneck, you know, when this fucking tour bus pulls up and all
to this kid's party.
Yeah, it's literally like that, and your one's just like, oh my God, But that's where it initially started. But then we were staying in the Ibis, in Lichfield. But it was just so handy, man. It you were walking.
How far is the Ibis away? It's not too far, is it?
No. So you basically walk from the Ibis to Tesco, get your cans, and you're getting cold cans from the Tesco. Yeah. Happy days, and then just hopping in a 20 euro taxi £20 taxi between four or five people. Mm. So it's £5 in. The only sort of main issue then is, it's like, if you're going back by yourself each night, it's going to be expensive.
Yeah, sure.
But then after that, then it's not
too bad. A mate of mine, it was apparently quite close, but he's done this for like the last 4 or 5 years, but he stays in these swanky fucking apartments with like hot tubs and stuff that are apparently like the same sort of distance. So I thought, if I was going to do it, I'll get a place that's like, still fucking right. Cool as shit, because he like takes everybody back and has parties there and shit. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that'd
be quite nice, because every, you know, when it goes to 5 o'clock in the morning, you're all crowded around a tent, freezing your fucking tits off, trying to convince yourself that everything's okay, but it's not.
No, it's really not.
No, I'm fine. I'm having a good time. No, I'm really, really comfortable. Yeah, no, the camping seat's broken and one of the poles is up my ass, but yeah, no, I'm fine.
Oh, no, you're fucking right, man. But yeah, thank you so much for being on the podcast. And
thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, I don't know what the crack is with us getting over to see over to Bloodstock and stuff. I don't know if we're allowed vaccination passports and all the rest of the fun banter.
Oh, but, yeah.
As soon as we get the go ahead, I'm sure we would all go across.
Oh, yes.
All right, man. I'm sure on that bombshell, but I'll talk to you later, mate. Yeah?
Nice one, brother.
Look, bye.